Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, before we launch into our study today, I want to mention my gratitude for the life of Martin Luther King Jr. The man was not a perfect man, but he courageously stood for truth and justice in the public square, despite the fact that his life was threatened and eventually martyred. As we look at his life, we need to remember, especially in this age when people have forgotten what racism really is and are introducing a new racism that is in the name of fighting against racism, we need to remember his dream. Martin Luther King desired a time when people would be judged on the content of their character rather than the color of their skin. If you want to stand with God against the sin of racism, you need to treat people as individuals and not as categories. So please don't buy the wokeness and the critical race theory lie, but instead agree that what matters is the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Christ, there is no slave or free. There is no male or female. There is no barbarian or Scythian, Jew or Gentile. All those categories melt away when we discover who we are in Christ Jesus. And so we don't discriminate against people on the basis of the category that they're in. We look at what God has done and how he can save people from all tribes and tongues and make us one in Christ. That is really good news. Folks, we have just recently come through the Christmas season. That's a wonderful thing. But one of the things a lot of people overlook when they're celebrating Jesus' birth is the clear pro-life statement that is found in Luke chapter 1 when Mary goes to visit Elizabeth. In Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 39, "At that time Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished.'" Now, folks, it wasn't a fetus that was in her womb. It was a baby, which is what a fetus is. Changing the terminology doesn't change the value of the life that is there. And so when I read a headline like this one, I pay attention. Abortion killed over 12 times more people than COVID last year. This is according to an article by Stephen Ertelt. Says, according to global health statistics, abortion killed 12 times as many people in 2021 as COVID did. A heartbreaking reminder about the prevalence of abortion. Statistics compiled by Worldometers indicates that there were over 42.6 million abortions worldwide in 2021. The independent site collects data from governments and other reputable organizations and then reports the data along with estimates and projections based on those numbers and it reveals that 42,640,209 people died from abortions last year. When you compare that to COVID, the number of people dying from abortions dwarfs the number of COVID deaths. And whereas most of the people who died from COVID were older people, these were our children. These were our children. Right now, our country is deeply divided over the issue of abortion. And the Supreme Court is in the midst of considering the possibility of rolling back the hideous, unconstitutional, deceitful decision famously known as Roe v. Wade. If you go back and study, as I have, the text of that decision, it is absolutely criminal that that decision was made by the U.S. Supreme Court. I mean, it was absolutely wrong. And some of the justices, like Justice Thomas, have spoken to that. Ironically, one of the staunch defenders of abortion also admitted that it was a bad decision. It was improperly framed. It was not a good argument. That person is no longer on the court. Her name was Justice Ginsburg, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She was totally pro-abortion. She was one of the strongest advocates for abortion on the court. And yet she recognized that Roe v. Wade was not, from a jurisprudence standpoint, it was not a good decision. Like the companion decision, Doe v. Bolton, it was decided on the basis of fraud, for one thing. Those cases were based on lies on the part of the pro-abortion counsel in order to try and mischaracterize their client's situation in order to gain greater sympathy with the public and with the court. The fact of the matter is, if what they had said was true, the decision that was reached would still be unconstitutional. You cannot simply treat humans as if they're not humans simply because they're not born. You can't treat them as not alive simply because their life is currently developing inside their mother. The fact is, the Roe v. Wade decision turned on its head the laws of states all across this land, which, by the way, those states had varying laws, varying restrictions. But Roe v. Wade struck them all down, just wiped the slate clean, said that the state did not have the right to stand up for the lives of children. Now, if a child's injured in a car accident, oh, well, then we can treat it as a child, even if it's an unborn child. If it's medical malpractice, oh, yes, definitely, human life. But if the mother wants it aborted, well, then it's not a human life at all. That doesn't make any sense. As some people are saying, follow the science, they refuse to look at the science. They refuse to consider the reality that this is not porcine, bovine, canine, feline. This is human. And it's not an inanimate object. It has a heartbeat. These children have fingerprints that don't match mama's. So mama isn't just doing what she wants with her body. She's doing what she chooses with someone else's body. That's not okay. How can the court allow that? Well, much the same as they allowed slavery in the 1800s, the famous Dred Scott decision. The fact of the matter is, the court decided prior to the Civil War that slavery was okay because blacks were not really fully human. On what basis was that decided? Was there something scientific? No. It was a political decision. It was a decision made because they wanted to keep slave owners and politicians happy. And so they decided certain people aren't people when it comes to the law. And folks, that's what happened in 1973. one of the main arguments that was made in favor of abortion was Planned Parenthood arguing with the slogan, "Every child a wanted child." In other words, we need to stop child abuse by making sure that the children are born into an environment where they are wanted. And if we can just abort these children, which is the ultimate child abuse, if we can just abort these children before they're born, then the children that are born will come into a world where they're welcomed and nurtured, and it's going to be wonderful. You go back and you look, as I have, at the statistics regarding child abuse in the United States, and you will find that it is like a hockey stick. The rate of child abuse, the number of cases of child abuse, the number of cases of medically confirmed severe child abuse skyrocketed not in the 1950s, not in the 1960s. There was an increase in the 50s and an increase in the 60s, but it skyrocketed beginning in 1973. I wonder why. Could it be because parents found that they no longer had to protect their children? When their children were most vulnerable and most dependent, the highest court in the land, the Supreme Court, said that it is okay to go inside the mom's body, to crush that baby's skull, to tear it limb from limb, to burn it with chemicals, do whatever you have to do to get rid of this thing. After all, it's just a clump of tissue. Follow the science. Look at the evidence. Why is it that Planned Parenthood does not want women to see an ultrasound of their baby before they make a decision about abortion? Why is it that they not only don't provide that service for women, but they have fought, with your tax dollars, by the way, they have fought in order to try and make it difficult for crisis pregnancy centers to operate because they don't want women to have the truth. It's easier for them to exploit the women if they have the women ignorant. Just keep them ignorant. Hillary Clinton was, of course, honored with the Margaret Sanger Award because of Hillary's work on behalf of what they call abortion rights. But who was Margaret Sanger anyway? Margaret Sanger was a racist. She was a eugenicist. She wanted to reduce the number of black and brown people. She partnered with the Ku Klux Klan. She did not like minorities. And so she founded the organization Planned Parenthood. And some of the Planned Parenthood locations are now waking up to the fact that maybe we don't want to be as closely associated with our founder, Margaret Sanger, as we have been in the past. So the New York City Planned Parenthood dropped Margaret Sanger from their name and from their PR materials. And to her credit, the head of that facility said that Margaret Sanger really did do some bad things. Now, she wasn't talking about advocating for the killing of babies. They still do that at Planned Parenthood. She was talking about the fact that the motivation was racism. That's not okay. Well, it's certainly not okay, but it may help explain why Planned Parenthood is primarily located in minority communities and why the percentage of abortions is so much higher in the black community and in the Hispanic community than it is in the white community. Is it because white people are more virtuous? No, it's because Planned Parenthood targets minorities. And so they will try and convince those women that they ought not to be giving birth to another child. Let me tell you something, folks. The cure for all of this is repentance. We need to have people committed to honoring God, practicing sexual purity. But if someone finds themselves carrying a child that they feel unprepared to care for, the body of Christ has got to come alongside and say, we'll help you. Whether you want to put the child up for adoption or whether you're going to try and raise this child, we will help you as best we can. And you know what? That's not just something that the body of Christ should do. It is something that the body of Christ is doing all across this country and in other countries around the world. People who love Jesus are coming alongside women who are facing difficult pregnancies. And they're showing the love of Jesus. And they're helping those children. One of these days, somebody may contact me and say, well, here's a place that offers free abortion. But so far, folks aren't taking me up on that. Planned Parenthood gets tax dollars to pay for abortions. But they also charge people who come in there. And the private clinics, they are mostly a cash-only business because people who kill babies for a living are also happy to hide income from the IRS. And the IRS ought to be investigating every one of those facilities to just see how they're doing at reporting the income that comes in. What about all the injuries of women who are butchered by the people who are killing their babies? Women who end up with a perforated uterus, with all kinds of complications. Do the hospitals note that as a complication from abortion? Not always. In fact, often they do not. If you look at the history, it is a grim history of people being exploited. It is tragic, but that is what sin looks like. And it produces death. Are we going to see a change in the law? Will the Supreme Court justices, who personally, supposedly, are pro-life, will they have the courage to say, no more? The federal government is not going to insist that states cannot protect their citizens. If, God forbid, I went out and killed somebody here in Tennessee, the state would be the ones who would prosecute me for murder. It's a crime in the state of Tennessee. If I killed someone in another state, I wouldn't be prosecuted by the state of Tennessee. I'd be prosecuted by the laws of that state. But when it comes to abortion, the Supreme Court said that the states don't have a right to treat killing humans as a crime. They absolutely eliminated it. And a lot of people think that all they did was make it so that in the early stages of pregnancy, it's okay to kill the baby. But that's not what they did. Go back and read their decision. They said that through all 9 months, it's okay. As long as there are two doctors who agree that it would be better for the woman's health. Does that mean she's physically in danger of losing her life or being permanently impaired physically? No. Emotional health counts. That's what the companion decision, Doe v. Bolton, was about. I met the lawyer who made that argument, Margie Pitts Hames, back when I was in Atlanta. You talk about a wicked, wicked person who's going to have to answer before God. I don't know if Margie's still alive. And I seriously doubt that she listens to this broadcast. But I'll tell you this, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, God offers grace to people who repent. I know precious individuals who are heartbroken when they consider the part that they had in an abortion, whether they were the mother, whether they were the boyfriend or the father. They wish they could go back and undo it. You know, you can't, but you can be forgiven, absolutely forgiven. King David was not only guilty of adultery, he had his girlfriend's husband murdered. David did that. Well, he had no excuse. No, he didn't. Was he punished? Yes, he was. Did God forgive him? Yes, he did. Whatever you've done, even taking a human life, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This week, leading up to the Saturday that is the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, we're going to be talking with different guests, interviewing various folks, looking at some scripture passages with an eye toward what does God say about this? Tragically, there are lots and lots and lots of people who really think the Bible doesn't talk about this. You know, I mean, how do you know from scripture whether or not it's okay to have an abortion? And what does scripture say about people who have had an abortion? Is that really in the Bible? Does God talk about those who take another person's life? Of course he does. We just mentioned the example of David. God is not a God who says, I'll only take people who've done good. God is a God who loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him would not perish, but will have everlasting life. I don't know your political stance. I don't care. I do know this. If you don't realize you're a sinner, you're in bad trouble. But if you know, like I know, I've sinned, I need a Savior. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He died to save sinners, people like me, people like you. Have you trusted him? A lot of people say, well, you know, it may not be a good thing, but it's the most compassionate thing that we can do. I've heard folks say that, you know, we wouldn't want these children to come in and have a difficult life. What about my son who was born with serious birth defects, who at age 43 has had over 40 surgeries in his life? He's been through a lot. But let me tell you, he's glad to be alive, and I'm certainly glad that he's alive. The story recently of a baby girl who was born 13 weeks early, was too small for doll clothes, but she's now thriving. She went through some very difficult days, but she is now thriving. That's from a story on December 22nd of 2021. How is it possible for this child to turn out okay? I've met some of those children. Children who the doctors said couldn't make it. One of those children, by the way, was a fellow by the name of T.W. Wilson, who was Billy Graham's right-hand man. When he was born, the doctor couldn't do anything. But a woman who worked for the family, who didn't have an education, but who had a heart of compassion, said, let me take care of that baby. And she put him in a little box, and she would put bricks that she'd heated up in the wood stove, wrapped in a blanket next to him, basically made a little homemade incubator in that family home. And T.W. Wilson grew up to be a great big guy, over 6 feet tall, very muscular, big guy, who served the Lord for so many years and led many, many people to Christ. And he's the one who told me that story. I look forward to seeing T.W. in heaven one day. But he said, when these people say these little babies can't make it, they're not really alive. He said, I was one of those babies. Let me tell you something, folks. God has a plan for your life. Whatever you've been through, whatever you've done, he's calling you to come and experience his grace. He loves you. You don't want to miss the interviews we're going to do this week. You don't want to miss the promise of God. He came for you. God bless you. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.